Enjoy.
Hey, everybody, it's Chris Earle. It is June 16th, 2021. Welcome to Time Travel. My friend Larry Lee Lewis passed away after a long illness. I knew him for about 20 years, and he was pretty big here in the Boston comedy scene. Gonna miss him. He did a lot of one-liners. He liked to gamble, and he was always a fun guy to be around. So I'm gonna play a show. He was a guest 5 times on Time Travel with Chris Earle. And from 2010 to 2014, he came in annually. I used to have a lot of guests on the show before COVID-19 and other things hit. The show has changed quite a lot over the years, but pretty interesting to listen to this one today, and I think you'll enjoy it. It is the very first appearance of Larry Lee Lewis. This is from August 2010 here on Time Travel. Hope you enjoy it, and goodbye to my buddy Larry Lee Lewis, who passed away at the age of 74 this past week.
Start your computation.
Start your computation.
For time warp. For
transmission time warp. Was starting. Transmission was starting.
5 seconds. Five, four, three, two, one.
Start your computation.
Start your computation.
For time warp. For time
start
warp.
Your computation.
Start your computation.
For time warp.
For time warp.
Start your computation.
Start your computation.
For time warp.
For time warp.
You're about to time travel, and I will, God willing, be back next week.
Time travel.
Chris Earle.
Chris Earle.
Did a great job.
Did time travel.
A little time travel show there will be coming up in just a few minutes after we plug in the latest technology.
Chris Earle with time travel.
Thanks to Mr. Chris Earle, who is our new Wednesday night lead-in.
Yeah, man. That guy is putting Dee Snider to shame.
I'm losing my voice, my throat, whatever, but Chris is coming up here and got all kinds of cool stuff for you to listen to, so stay tuned.
Listen to WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 FM on your radio dial.
Listen to Time Travel with Chris Earle on 7 p.m.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute, Doc. Wait a minute, Doc.
Are you telling me that you built a time machine?
Are you telling me you built a time machine?
Insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. I let you love what I thought it was money. You came along and woo, now honey. I've changed my mind, this love is fine. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. Kisses the baby. Feels good. Hold me, baby. Love you like I love a shoe. You're fine, so kind. Got to tell this world that you're mine. I chew my nails out and I twiddle my thumb. I'm real on earth, but it sure is fun. Come on, baby, it drives me crazy. It's just great balls of fire.
Fruity, oh Rudy, to the fruity, oh Rudy, to the fruity, oh Rudy.
Oh, it ain't what you do, it's the way how you do it.
Welcome to Time Travel with Chris Earle. Special guest today is Larry Lee Lewis.
Ha-ha!
How you doing, Larry?
I'm great. How you doing, Chris?
Excellent. We're just listening to the Everly Brothers, Wake Up Little Susie, before that, Little Richard with Tutti Frutti Live, and starting us out, Jerry Lee Lewis with Great Balls of Fire. We are in the 50s all day today.
Love
here on
the
Time
50s.
Travel. Yeah, how did you get into the 50s music?
I was in a group called the Elderly Brothers.
Yeah?
Well, I got into it because I was grew up in it.
Yeah.
I was born in 47, and I loved those late 50s, Rockabilly, Sun Studios,
yep.
Boogie Woogie, and all the doo-wops, and all the different groups that came out of there, that came out of New Jersey and New York.
Yep.
The harmony groups, just loved that stuff. Early Beatles I liked, too.
Early Beatles, they covered a lot of Carl Perkins.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
Carl Perkins was their second, he was the writer that they recorded the most songs of, except for Lennon McCartney.
Right, right, yeah, exactly, yeah. I'm a huge Beatles fan, and I have been since I was a kid. I grew up mostly in the 70s, but I'm a big 50s fan since I've always been a fan of music.
You cannot deny that. Rockabilly, boogie-woogie beat.
Yep, absolutely. Nice. There we go. Larry's going to be playing a little bit on the, what is that? Is it a Casio?
Yeah.
Nice. With the Casio.
In the business, we call it Casio.
In the Casio?
No, I'm kidding.
So what were the early influences? We mentioned Carl Perkins, the Beatles. What else do you remember? What was the first 45 you had?
Oh, wow. The first 45 that I had was my dad on my 10th birthday. It was 1957. He took me up to see Sherm Feller.
Okay.
Who was one of the very first talk radio people. He preceded even Jerry Williams. And he was a DJ. And he gave me a whole bunch of Not For Sale 45s,
mm-hmm.
demos, supposedly. And, yeah, there were a couple of songs in there, Get a Job by the Silhouettes.
Yep.
that type of stuff. So I got to think about a few other ones, but early doo-wop groups,
yep.
Not well-known stuff. But I fell in love with that stuff right away.
Yeah, the Silhouettes I actually got on the playlist here. We got a couple of surprises. Larry doesn't know what I brought in.
I'm so excited.
But I got a couple of surprises. I think there's a couple of obscure doo-wop songs on there that you might not have heard in a little while.
The more obscure, the better.
Yeah. So Schirmfeller also said he was an American musical composer, radio personality, probably best known for serving public address announcing
at Fenway Park.
Fenway Park for 26 years.
Yeah.
And he passed on.
Number nine, Ted Williams.
Yeah. So most people around these parts have probably remember Schirmfeller.
Yeah, some people voice. Do. He's starting to fade out, or the people who remember him are starting to fade out. But I lived in Newton at that time before I became the only Jew ever to move from Newton to Chelsea.
Yeah.
Parents didn't raise me. They lowered me.
So let's talk about 1947. That's when you were born, right?
Yeah.
So what was happening? What were the big things that happened in 1947, that first year of life?
Of course, I don't remember, but...
No.
47 was a post-war year when everybody was back and life was good.
Right.
And the prices were still low and everything, amazingly low. Like, houses were like $9,900 and stuff, but...
Yeah.
That was that's when of course that was the beginning of the baby boomers. I think they start the baby boomers at 46,
right?
From 46 to 64, and then what? The Generation X. What are you? Are you a Generation X?
I guess I'm a Generation X. Yeah, 71 was kind of like a mini boom because it was around like Vietnam there, so there was a little bit of a mini boom there,
right?
But not as big as the baby boomers.
Yeah.
I think the baby boomers, it was a little bit more manageable. People were getting home and they wanted to build the families. Plus, there was no birth control.
right.
So I had that too.
Right. The Eisenhower years.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Vietnam, of course, I spent a lot of time in Canada during Vietnam. And
yeah. The Glenn Miller and all those bands, the big bands, were still around in like 47 early on.
Yeah. I love that sound. I was listening to Peter Wolf. Couple of months ago on, I think it was on the Jordan Rich show or something like that, late night show, and surprisingly, he said his favorite music was the big band.
Oh, no kidding.
Peter Wolf from Jay Giles.
Yeah.
He's terrific. I really got an appreciation of him listening to that show. He was on a couple hours, but big band music, I mean, you got that swing music.
Yep.
And, you know, you play it a little faster, and you got Louis Prima. And before you know it, you're into Ernie K. Doe and Bill Haley and the Comets and Ike Turner.
Right.
And then the Southern Boys started putting the hillbilly music together with the rhythm and blues. And then you got Elvis and Jerry Lee and Carl Perkins and Johnny Cash. And, you know, that stuff is still influencing what's happening now.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, you were really a young guy when you first saw the beginnings of rock and roll.
Yeah. Have you been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I have. I was at the opening day. I went on the way back.
Can I get your autograph?
Yeah, it was awesome. I got to meet Little Richard, Chuck Berry, Yoko Ono.
Yoko Ono.
Who else was there? Springsteen was there. I didn't get to meet him, but I saw him go down. Bon Jovi.
This is what, 85?
This
or
was
95.
Yeah, it was
Jerry Lee played on that first.
Yeah, it was excellent.
He played with Springsteen.
He played with Springsteen. Yeah, it was awesome. And the best photo I got was Chuck Berry, and I shook his hand, and he was coming down the red, Bon Jovi right next to their plane came in on his plane. And I got a picture of him walking up the runway.
The mentors and the originators and the followers, the carry-ons. But Chuck Berry was the poet laureate of rock and roll.
Yeah, and it was a fantastic concert. It was like 11 hours long.
I know it.
Yeah, it was so much fun. I got there, and I was coming back from California. I'd been out there for a little while.
Why didn't you call me?
Decided to return home. I know. I could have time-traveled to the future and brought you back with me. But I decided to get the mid-range ticket, which at the time I think was about $180. I'm like,
wow,
this is worth it.
Even at that time, 15 years ago. Back to the Future, Michael J. Fox.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Playing Chuck Berry on the stage.
Yep. They have...
this is your cousin Marvin, do you hear? I think this is the sound you're looking for.
Marvin Berry. Yeah.
I think this is the sound you're looking for.
It was such a great time, though, and such a great concert. HBO filmed it, but I think they only used about 2 or 2.5 hours when they actually showed it on HBO.
You can get a lot of it on YouTube now.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
you know, I watch the Jerry Lee Bruce Springsteen thing like at least once a week.
Yeah,
he is my idol.
Yeah, that was definitely one of the highlights of the show. And who else was there? Lou Reed, Iggy Pop were there, and Indigo Girls were there.
Now, do you know the original class, the first 10?
The first 10
Stuff.
Rock and Rollers?
The first 10 Stuff. I was doing it with my friend Edgar, the drummer. Mm-hmm. And we got 9 of them, and then we thought the 10th one, and we weren't sure. And, well, it's Fats Domino, Chuck Berry, Little Richard, Jerry Lee, Elvis. There's 5 of them.
Okay.
Everly Brothers, 6. Now you got to start thinking. Buddy Holly.
Yep.
Is 7. Joyce, do you know?
No, I'm just learning. I'm sitting here.
But there were 10 original. No.
3 more.
3 more. I think Sam Phillips.
Sam Phillips?
The owner of
Otis
Sun.
Redding?
No.
Otis Redding was around a little bit later, I think.
Right.
Yep.
But you have to be out of, your first record has to be 25 years ago, and then you qualify.
Right. Ooh. Sam Moore was there, too, at that one. I remember Sam Moore was
Dave.
There. And Booker T and the MGs.
Whoa.
Jackson Brown, Billy Joel, Peter Wolfe.
What a lineup.
Yeah. It
what
was
a lineup.
Pretty awesome.
Well, did you see the movie? Did they have the movie then?
They had like 2 or 3 months afterwards, I think it came on HBO. And I didn't have HBO at the time.
No. But I mean the movie at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that showed how rock and roll started.
Well, here's the interesting part. Even though I was there on the first day, they didn't let the public in to the actual museum. So the
really?
Closest I came was right outside where they had like a... you could just see like the U2 car swinging in the window, and that was about it. They wouldn't let the public in. It was basically musicians and invitees only.
Have you been back?
I haven't. I've actually liked to go in.
I want to tell you something. It takes 2 full days to see that Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just tremendous. And they have a beautiful movie that they put together that showed how basically the black music and the white music got together.
Mm-hmm.
What was that? Traffic outside?
I guess, yeah. How about Roy Orbison? He came around a little.
I think he was inducted in the year after that.
Yeah.
You got the computer. See if you can find it.
Yeah, he said he was at Sun Records.
Bill Haley was one of them.
57. Yeah, Bill Haley. That makes sense, too.
Yeah, so that's 8.
Yep.
And we need 2 more.
So we're looking for the other 2 of the top 10 rock and rollers.
Are we taking phone calls? Or?
In the meantime, I'm going to play a cut from Larry Lee Lewis Band.
All right. Can I play along?
Yeah. Do you want to play along?
I don't know his stuff.
My name is Larry Lee Lewis. I'm from Chelsea, Mass. Gonna do a little boogie. Gonna smoke some grass. Do it mighty fine. Gonna make you shake. Gonna make you do it. Make you do it till you break. Lord Lewis boogie. Lewis way. Well, do my little boogie. Back in the bully, the land of dreams, best doggone place you've ever seen. And the cats go wild to a boogie that's hot. Boogie woogie makes you want to start and do the bop. It's called Lewis Boogie in Lewis Way. Do my little boogie woogie every day. Lewis Boogie. Begins to shiver and move. Louis Boogie in the Louis way. Well, I do my little boogie woogie every day. Woogie, 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 woogie. Boogie, woogie, 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 woogie. Well, your hips start
You're not gonna believe this. We gotta go back to 1955.
I don't believe it.
You made me cry when you said goodbye. Is that a shame? My tears fell like rain. My heart, when you said we'll part, ain't that a shame? My tears fell like rain. Ain't that a shame? You're the one to blame. Oh well, goodbye. Although I'll cry.
Marty, you were.
That's Chuck Berry, Johnny B. Good. Awesome song. One of the best.
The poet laureate of the 1950s.
Yeah.
Rock, early rock and roll.
Yeah, and I met him.
Did you? Oh, at the Rock and Roll,
Hall of Fame. I got a good picture with him.
Chuckles Berry, yeah. Chuckles he doesn't do a great concert.
No?
Well, you know, he doesn't have a band.
Yeah.
When he just pulls up in his Cadillac, takes his guitar out of the back, out of the trunk, asks for cash,
mm-hmm.
and then plays with a pickup band.
That's pretty good, though. I mean, that's good. That's a good thing to get cash.
Yes, he's got that down.
he's got that down.
Yeah.
Paid in cash. That's what most of the blues musicians, right? Yeah. They all worked with cash only.
Yeah, in those days, yeah, because they would give him $20 and say, look, you're getting a lot of exposure.
Yeah.
That's the key for your records, which they never got the royalties for. So,
yeah.
That was really the only way they could make any money, because they never got the royalties.
Yeah.
I mean, 30 years later, they had a fight for them, millions of dollars.
Oh, you know, such a bummer.
I know.
It's just so sad. You had so many, like, geniuses, and they just didn't get what, like, Prince and Springsteen and everybody else got in their heyday.
Right.
Yeah.
No, they didn't.
So Fats Domino was on the Ain't That a Shame. We mentioned Fats he was Domino, one of the
yeah.
best.
Oh, yeah. I loved his brother, too. So he was never too well known. Skinny Dice.
Skinny Dice. This was an interesting story during the break there for us. Lollipop by the Cordettes. You mentioned that was the first song you learned on the piano?
It was.
Yeah.
Lollipop, lollipop. Yep. When I was a little kid, yeah.
Can you still play it?
No.
No? You don't have to play that one. That one, you played it so many times, I was just like, forget it.
But I was a kid and I had a lesson, and that was the last lesson.
Yeah.
So.
We had Johnny B. Goode, Chuck Berry on there, and also repopularized in 1985 by Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future. And also we were going to play one. We have you introduce the next one that we wanted to play, which was from Jerry Lee Lewis. But did you want to do something on the piano there? You want to get something going there?
I'll do a little Fats Domino.
Sure.
Found my thrill on Blueberry Hill. On Blueberry Hill, when I found you, the moon stood still on Blueberry Hill and lingered until my dreams came true. The wind in the willow blade, love's sweet melody, and all of those vows I made a lot of them, were never to be. Though we're apart, you're part of me still. You are my on Blueberry Hill.
There we go. Nice. WMFO, Medford, Massachusetts, 617-627-3800. My guest today on Time Travel, Larry Lee Lewis, and that was live in the studio, Blueberry Hill, covering Fats Domino.
Yeah, a song I wrote in 1952 by Fats Domino.
Yeah. Now, here's a question for you. How long have you actually been playing the piano?
I've done that little brief thing when I was a kid. At the age of 50, I started teaching myself the piano, and I went
wow.
to different teachers. I never had a second lesson with any teacher.
Yeah.
Because they always told me to learn the scales and learn how to read, and that seemed like work to me. So
yeah.
I just learned from books and videos and my Jerry Lee Lewis records.
Yep.
And I got a lot of feedback from different piano players, but I kept at it, and now I'm lousy. But about 13 years I've been playing.
Doing pretty good. Hey, 13 yeah. years is pretty awesome. And I remember after you mentioned that you learned at 50, I remember we had a discussion about that a few years ago when I had first met you, and we were talking about that a little bit. I think what happens when you want to learn something for a long time, you finally have to get to a point where you're in. Like whether it's I'm going to go to the gym every day, or I'm going to learn piano, or I'm going to be an expert at this. You really have to get through. I think there's kind of a mind game that goes on, at least with a lot of people that are creative.
It's all in the mind, yeah. You got to focus, baby. You got to focus.
I know.
But one thing for me was a true story. I was a big gambler.
Mm-hmm.
And when I turned 50, I said to myself, you know what? I'm an obsessive, addictive type guy, which you are too, Chris, I can tell.
Yeah.
And I want to put my obsessions and addictions to a positive situation. So that's why I learned the piano. And then I took up the comedy at age 52.
Yeah.
So it's been a lot of fun. It's like two different lives.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. It's kind of neat how as you get older, you reinvent yourself a little bit.
Right.
Yeah, it's almost like every decade, from what I've seen with people I've known for a long time, the people have changed quite a bit.
Of course, people were chasing me, too, and I had to change my social security number.
Oh, no.
But it was very good to re-identify myself, right? reinvent myself.
And this was pre-internet days, before everybody's ID was taken, right?
I read a tremendous book, which was called How to Change Your Identity by Mr. X.
Yeah. Chuck Berry is 83 and he's still going.
He's still touring.
Still showing up. Yeah. It's pretty good. We should see. I should call him up, see if he wants to come into WMFO one day.
He probably will.
Yeah, but no, he might not be doing much.
He'll do anything for a buck.
Yeah. We'll bring him over to Bocelli's afterwards, get him some calamari.
Yeah.
I bet you he'd like that.
You know, Jimmy Johnson was Chuck Berry's piano player.
Yeah.
And Jimmy later on sued Chuck for part of the royalties because he really wrote a lot of the melodies.
Mm-hmm.
Chuck wrote the words, which was no small feat because the words are fantastic.
Yeah.
But Jimmy Johnson never got his due, his credit. But he finally won in court.
Yeah.
So Chuck admitted it, that Jimmy had written some of that stuff.
Yeah, he's kind of interesting. He's been around for forever, too, huh? Jimmy Johnson?
Yep.
Yeah, he's worked with a lot of people over the years. Percy Sledge, Willie Nelson, Canned Heat, The Stones, Bob Seger.
Yeah, no, he was... there weren't too many rock and roll piano players at that time. I mean, Jerry Lee Lewis was one of the very first ones, and Jimmy Johnson. There was another guy with the name escapes me, but who also played... of course, Little Richard.
Yeah.
Doesn't get much of a... He is just a fantastic piano, but he doesn't play that much in his act.
Yeah.
Stands up, he plays with his fingers pointing down, and he's still around, too.
He likes to showboat a little bit. I like Little Richard, but he likes to showboat a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
I think the showboating part of it is a little bit more important to him than what he's doing musically.
Well, he's got the voice. I mean, that voice. I mean, he claims, and I'm sure it's somewhat true, that he taught the Beatles how to do that. Woo!
Oh, yeah.
You know, when She Loves You and everything like that, so... I saw Little Richard and Jerry Lee at Beverly Theater in the Round a few years ago. Fantastic.
Yeah?
Yeah, Little Richard stood on top of the piano. He's up there in age, too. They all are.
Yeah. Yeah. He was awesome, too. He was great. So we got another Jerry Lee Lewis one. What did you decide to pick for this one? Harbor Lights?
Harbor Lights, yeah, which is a Sammy Kay song. All the Way with Sammy Kay. Talk about big bands.
Mm-hmm.
And Swing and Sway with Sammy Kay. But this is Jerry Lee's version, and... Yeah, I like to hear let the people hear his slow stuff, because he's beautiful on the piano and his voice.
All right, Harbor Lights here on WMFO, Medford, Massachusetts, 617-627-3800 is the listener line. My name is Chris Searle, show's called Time Travel. Special guest today is Mr. Larry Lee Lewis. We are stuck in the 50s today.
I'm on to this with the lady that brought the bead up here and gave me this lick. She was beautiful. I've got to give credit to where credit is due. I saw those harbor lights. They only told me we were parting. Those harbor lights once brought you to me. Hey girl, I watched those harbor lights. How could I help if tears were starting? Honey, you're getting closer to me. I long to hold you near. kiss you just once more. But you were on the ship, I was on the shore. Now I'll know lonely nights, if all the while my heart keeps yearning. Some of the harbor lights will steal you from me, thank God. You can put your hood back on, baby. Up on you just once more, but you were on the ship, I was on the shore. Now I'll know lonely nights, all the while my heart is yearning. Some of the harbor lights will steal your love from me.
The king of the wild frontier. Born on a mountaintop in Tennessee, a green estate in the land of the free. Raised in the woods so's he knew every tree, and killed him a bar when he was only three. Davy, Davy Crockett, the king of the wild frontier. He fought single-handed through the Indian War, till the Creeks was whipped and peace was in store. And while he was handling this risky chore, he made himself a legend forevermore. Davy, Davy Crockett, king of the wild frontier. Oh, when he lost his love, his grief was gall. In his heart he wanted to leave it all and lose himself in the forests tall. But he answered instead his country's call. Davy, Davy Crockett, the choice of the whole frontier.
He went off to Congress and served a spell, fixing up the government and laws as well. Took over Washington, so we hear tell, and patched up the crack in the Liberty Bell. Davy, Davy Crockett, serving his country well.
When he come home, his politicking done, why the big western march had just begun. He packed up his gear and his trusty gun, and lit out the grinning to follow the sun.
Davy, Davy Crockett, leading a pioneer.
His land is biggest, and his land is best, from grassy plains to the mountain crest. He's ahead of us all, a meeting a test, and following his legend right into the west.
Davy, Davy Crockett, the king of the wild frontier.
Whoa, this is heavy.
There's that word again, heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull?
great pretender. Adrift in a world of my own, I play the game, but to my real shame, you've left me to dream all alone. Conceal. Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender. Just laughing and gay like a clown. I seem to be, but I'm not. You see, I'm wearing my heart like a crown.
The Platters.
Wow. Did you? I think I heard Herb Reading there.
Yeah.
Herb Reading the Platters. He's still going strong out of Arlington.
He is. I met him, too. I saw he was the last one that was in the Platters. I don't think he tours anymore.
Was it him or his cousin?
No, it was him. It was him. It was Herb Reed, right?
Herb Reading. Well, he owns the name.
Oh, he owns the name, the Platters.
And the Platters, yeah. But don't know if he was in the original. Maybe he was.
Yeah.
Says he is. Been saying it so long, he must be.
He popped back. I want to say it was Herb Reed, and it was like the 90s. I went and I saw them. And everybody was like, you know, 20, other than the guy, you know, that was in his 60s or 70s at the time.
I think he's in his, like, late 80s now, and he still gigs. He was up to Kowloon this summer.
Yeah.
And he lives in Arlington, and he's a local. He plays the Regent Theater once in a while in Arlington.
Yeah. So, that's pretty awesome, though.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been doing it for, what, 50 years?
Or more.
Yeah.
He's 80 years in show business. It's another George Burns. Hey, music can keep you young.
Yeah.
Are we ready for a public service announcement?
Sure, and let's do a public service announcement. Go ahead.
All right, it's summer, the season of picnics, fireworks, and family. Celebrate at the Museum of Science with Red, Blue, and Whales. Cool off at the Whales to Horror exhibit. A dive into the water in Wales, now playing at the Mugar Omni Theater. This month also features the opening of George Washington Carver and the premiere of our newest social event, Science Social, Summer on the Charles. For more information, please visit mos.org on the web or call the museum at 617-723-2500. This has been a public service announcement from the Museum of Science and all the nerds here at WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Nice. Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. This has been a message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, Time Travel, and this station, all the nerds here at WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. It's 5:48. If you're still at work, leave. What are you waiting for?
Was that a real public service announcement?
Which one, the buzz driving?
The buzz driving?
No, yeah, it is. It's a real one. But
I mean, you know who those guys are. They're in the right-hand lane because they'll miss the exit all the time.
Right, right.
In the breakdown lane.
Yep.
And they're driving about 12 miles an hour.
Or 120. Yeah.
No, I don't know if they're driving fast. Well, I guess it's judgment impaired.
Yeah.
It's a $100 fine anyways, you know that.
They could take the T and go to the Museum of Science and see the whale show.
Yeah.
You can see the IMAX show.
It all ties in. You're a genius. You're a programming genius, Chris Earle. Let's hear it for Chris Earle out there.
Nice. Now we got one for colorectal cancer. We'll have to tie that one in the next hour. That's the other PSA we have.
That ties in by itself.
Look forward to that. So what else should we do right now? Do you want to play another one from your list, or do you want to play one live in the studio again?
All right. You talk me into it. I'll play one live.
All right. Sounds good. What are we going to play?
This is an old Gene Autry song.
Gene Autry, okay.
From the 40s and the 50s.
Larry Lee Lewis here on Time Travel.
Mexicali Rose, stop your crying. I'll come back to you some sunny day. Every night you know that I'll be pining. Every single hour of the day. Dry those big brown eyes and smile, dear. Vanish all those tears and please don't cry. Kiss me once again and hold me, Mexicali Rose, goodbye. He rode the horse champion. Mexicali Rose, stop your crying. I'll come back to you some sunny day. Every night you know that I'll be fine. Every single hour of the day. Dry those big brown eyes and smile, dear. Vanish all those tears and please don't cry. Kiss me once again and hold me, Mexicali Rose, goodbye.
That's some fancy footwork.
I know it.
That last one, Larry got it right up. He put the foot right on the piano.
Yeah.
That last note, that was fantastic.
Another year or two, I won't be able to do that.
No, you got to do it while you still can. Mexicali Rose, popular song, music, Jack Tenney, and lyrics by Helen Stone, originally published in 1923. A song about a love story of a man who must leave his love for a while.
And sung so beautifully by Jane. I don't know how he rode the horse and sang the song at the same time. I never could figure that out. But I loved watching those Gene Autry movies when I was a kid.
Right.
And wishing that I was up there riding champion too with Bullet by my side, the dog.
Yeah, yeah.
Or was that Roy Rogers?
That may have been Roy Rogers. It could have been Gene Autry. What was interesting about the 50s, too, when you mentioned Davy Crockett, you said you were growing up, you had the Davy Crockett hat.
I had the hat. I watched the Disney movies of it all the time. And Buddy Ebsen played his sidekick, George Russell.
Yep.
And Fess Parker played Davy Crockett. And I remember there were three big episodes, and the last one he was at the Alamo. He was the last one to fight them off. And, man, we love Davy Crockett. And that's where merchandising really started.
Yeah, with those hats.
Yeah, and then Colonel Parker took it to another level with Elvis when he had everything. Ashtrays, pencils, I mean, he really put it into gear. But also, you know, the sports around here during the 50s when I was growing up, too, was tremendous, especially the Celtics.
Yep.
Year after year, Bill Russell, Bob Cousy.
Yep.
And the Red Sox. When you went to the game, nobody left until Ted Williams got his last at bat.
Nice.
It was the seventh or eighth inning. They just made it. Could have been 20-1, which it was a lot of times those years. But Sammy White and Jimmy Pearsall and Dick Raddatz in the early 60s.
Yeah.
Not winning teams. There used to be 10,000 people in those stands.
Yeah.
Not until 1967 when Stremski with the impossible year. That's what started all these sellouts.
Yeah.
Which I don't even think are sellouts now, but we'll get that's another subject.
That's true, yeah. So how much was a game back then for a Celtics or Red Sox game?
$2 in the bleachers.
Yeah, $2.
$2.
Wow, $2.
Yeah. They went to $2.50. We stopped going.
Yeah.
You know the Red Sox aren't serving beer this year in Fenway Park. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, you know why?
No.
Because they lost the opener. I know it's terrible, but that's my act.
Well, I went to J. Giles and Aerosmith Saturday. I think it was.
Wow, you went?
Yeah, it was pretty fun. Last it was
Jenny
last Saturday.
D and the Delinquents.
Jenny D and the Delinquents and beers were, I think, $7.50. No, they were, I think they were $8 a piece. So, like, with a tip, $17, $18 for two beers.
That's like a highball in a bar.
Yeah, it's like, and half of it spilled on the way back to the seat, too. So.
Yeah, well, it's not that they exploit the fans. It's just that they want to get every possible penny.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. Yeah. Ugh.
The owners have made quite a bit of money with the Red Sox in Fenway Park.
Yeah, no kidding. Where have we gotten to as a society, though, where it's that's what we decide is it's okay to do that? It's like, I want to go out for the night with the girl or with the family or something, and then all of a sudden it costs you, like, you know, a down payment for a house.
Yeah. Step out of your house, it costs $100.
It's like, that's why people stay home, and even cable is like $150, $200. Some people get the full thing, yeah. You're paying $2,400 a year for something that you will never use again. It's all memories.
But the economy's not good. Yeah. That part I don't understand. We have to pay extra, double, triple for everything, but the economy's not good.
Yeah, no kidding.
There's a lot of spending going on, which is supposed to help the economy. I don't know how to figure out that happened.
Yeah, let's see if this caller knows anything about this. It's WMFO 91.5 FM. You are on the air with Larry Lee Lewis and Chris Earl in Time Travel.
Chris Earl and Larry Lee Lewis.
Hey.
Johnny Joyce.
How are you guys?
Good. How you doing, Johnny?
Larry, you are a musician of all musicians. I've never heard anything like it. Apparently, even better on the radio.
Thank you. I got a face for radio.
Yeah, you do have a face for radio. What days of radio did we have in the 1510 bracket?
That's right. I thought you were going to say Larry Lee Liplock.
I do like saying Larry Lee Liplock because you got a lip for jokes.
You got Jack with you?
Yeah, Jack's live in the studio here in sunny Drake, Massachusetts.
Nice.
A little overcast.
Yeah, Johnny and Jack Joyce were both in the studio last week. They were my guests last week here on Time Travel last Wednesday.
Yeah, we stopped in, and Jack did a hell of a job on the radio, which, in fact, he was great when we used to go on Larry's show a lot.
That's right. Jack was on the shows there, too.
Yep.
Yeah, Jack was real good at that.
I want to mention that Johnny Joyce is the winner of the Boston Herald's Funniest Minute.
That's right. Congratulations.
Beating out 32 other comedians, or 31 other comedians.
Thanks a lot. And it was a lot of fun. I can tell you that, you know, these contests are tough, and, you know, you got to get a lot of people behind you. And I got the Facebook thing going like everybody else in the comedy world. And, of course, a number of emails I sent out from, believe it or not, over the years, over 14,000 emails have been gathered since the Comics for a Cause days, rather, and early 2000s, and that show was the number two show in Boston. So it was a great run. It was a lot of fun, and, you know, a lot of guys, you know, deserve congratulations because there was a lot of good guys in the finals, and, you know, you end up winning these things sometimes.
Of course, they all finished thousands of votes behind you.
Well, yeah, but it's always good to come up with some big votes. And, you know, it's funny because I go on the Facebook like we all do every day and we pound away at our posts and you watch people and they really pay attention.
Yeah.
Johnny Joyce, one of the most dynamic, entertaining personalities in the comedy scene nowadays. But, you know, Johnny, did you know that MySpace, Twitter, and Facebook are merging? They're going to call it My Twit Face.
I like that one. That's good.
I think
everybody's Twitter.
You can steal it. I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I might have told you this this story, Johnny. And Larry, yeah. This is an interesting story about Facebook. When it's probably about a year or two ago. It was right. Actually, it was about a year ago. It was right before my high school reunion, my 20th high school reunion. And I noticed on the Facebook, I posted that I was going to a show. Matter of fact, it happened to be the show at the China Blossom last year. And all of a sudden, that night, I didn't know about this in advance. That night, there were about 35 people from high school that actually showed up, that were in my class, that came to the show to see me. And then I'm like, how did this happen? They said, oh, we were going to go out for drinks, and then we met up, and blah, blah, blah. And then they ended up all coming down to the show, which was pretty amazing. I followed the trail back on Facebook and saw one person say, hey, I want to go see Chris tonight. You want to go? You want to go? It was really neat. I mean, it's a pretty awesome social networking tool. You know, it does have its flaws, but it is pretty amazing for networking and what you need to do, especially in entertainment, you know.
Well, yeah, it's a perfect example, Chris, of what we're trying to do in the China Blossom aspects of it. I mean, we're just trying to make sure that people know that they can see a show, and if they're Facebook fans, they can come out and just say that they were on the Facebook and seen the advertisements and get in for free. I mean, I've tried all types of marketing, different types of marketing, because I want people to know that I'm real serious about people laughing. I mean, there's so much going on in the world. We need to make sure that everybody's geared up and ready to laugh. I mean, that's really the bottom line for all this.
Ha-ha! You know, isn't there a movie coming out with the Facebook inventor?
Yes, and who's playing the Facebook? It's somebody big, I think.
Michael Cera?
Is that who it is?
It's the only one I know.
Facebook movie. Let me see if I can find something. I'll use my little typing finger.
Somebody tried to steal their idea, or they were accused of stealing somebody.
Yeah, it's called The Social Network, and it does have Kevin Spacey. Kevin Spacey produced it.
Surprised Johnny Joyce isn't in that movie, because he's...
Yeah, I should be, because I can't stop talking about myself.
Well, I mean, I think you're the vice president of Facebook at this point.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I mean, like I said, I hope that this fall can turn out the numbers and people can really get involved in all this. And, you know, if they do, they know where we're at. We have a lot of other things coming up outside the China Blossom, and it's great to see fans and friends and people alike just coming out and enjoying what we do. I mean, we're all comedians, and we're all about having fun and getting up on stage and doing what we always wanted to do, just make people laugh.
I want to say that China Blossom, there's a lot of comedy rooms around in greater Boston. China Blossom's a little different, boy. The people come out of there, and they just have such a great time. The comedians, handpicked by Johnny Joyce, are fun, and it's a different experience than going to a regular comedy club, which we won't mention any other names, but try the China Blossom, because you'll have a lot of fun. You'll get a lot of repeat business.
I put together a lot of different types of shows. You always have an